Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
All right, so Jim, we have spent about an hour fighting our computers and our phones and whatever else we could fight against here. Somebody didn't want me to talk to you, but apparently we're going to make it work. So
that's right.
Welcome, Jim. I'd really appreciate it if you could introduce yourself for me and kind of give me a background. And we actually got a hold of you because you are the co-founder of FaithRx, correct?
Yes. So I'm the executive director and co-founder of FaithRx, which has been around since 2013. And I come from St. Louis and went to Miami of Ohio and had a 20-year career in the Navy and then got involved with FaithRx as I was transitioning out.
All right. Well, tell me about your career in the Navy. What'd you do there?
So I started in aviation and went through flight school, was a naval flight officer, so was running the crew for the P-3 Orion, and the P-3 is set up for patrol. And sometimes we said the jack of all trades and the master of none, because we could do it all. We could look for submarines and ships and do long-range video reconnaissance of land targets, and we would usually fly low to the ocean and do long-range carrier surveillance for the perimeter support that the helos and some of their jets wouldn't have the long legs for. So that was really cool. Did a couple deployments when I was stationed out in Hawaii. Got married right before heading out there. So Becky, my wife, came out there with me. And then was there for about 3.5 years. And then taught leadership at the Naval Academy. So that began kind of a cool, diverse career of getting to do a lot of different things. So taught leadership, was working with the midshipmen, got to be the cycling rep for the team there, and went on to do some recruiting out of Pennsylvania as Becky was transitioning from road cycling and doing really successfully with that to the track, and really wanted to test out racing against an international cycling venue there in the middle of Pennsylvania, of all places, kind of cornfields kind of place, Trexlertown, but really cool venue for Friday Night Light type racing there. So I was doing officer recruiting for the Navy while she was doing that. And I would race on Saturday mornings with the locals, and she was racing Friday nights under the lights. And then went on to work for some staffs, the Chief of Navy Reserve and the Pentagon, and was stationed near there. And then went on to lead the Navy Reserve Center out of Denver. And so that was my last tour and transitioned us here to the Denver area, which was perfect for us. Had always wanted to live near the mountains, and put us in a position as Becky was then transitioning from having kids to getting involved in CrossFit, really look at FaithRx as a ministry that we were both passionate about.
So how long have you been a person of faith then?
So I became involved in my faith really all the way back to the beginning. I had the fortune of growing up in a Christian home and living just right down the street from our church. And my dad was passionate about his faith, and we would walk to church, and he would sing in the choir. My mom was involved as well. She had a Catholic background, and went to a Christian sports camp and some ski trips and stuff like that. I think the biggest transformation for me in my faith to really own my own faith was in my freshman year of college, and just getting involved with really reading scripture more and really challenging it. Read a book called The Myth of Certainty. And that really got me thinking about just how much bigger God is, and how trying to get to him with our own rational perspective isn't going to make it. So really that provides that doubt is sort of the starting point for faith, that because our rational minds don't get to God that's outside time and space, it does take an element of faith. And yet there's so much evidence of his influence and love for us here in our dimension. And so that was a real big breakthrough for me.
Right on. So you're raised in the church, but you kind of came to your own faith once you got out. I think that's a similar story to a lot of us. Mm-hmm. Obviously not all of us, but I think mine is similar to that. But so what are you doing now that you're not in the Navy? Did you retire?
I did retire, yeah. And just as I was getting close to retirement was really when Becky, she had been on the USA team for cycling, so just had an astronomical rise in her career, and even was shooting for the Olympics, made it to the World Championships a couple times, and all along really just saw that sports can be an amazing platform to share your faith. And so she was started the Lehigh Valley FCA area, and was ministering to kids, and we got to know some people that were involved with college students that were starting ministries there, and really getting our feet wet. I was on the local board there, and then had kids, as I said. And then as she was getting competitive in CrossFit and just kind of testing the waters with it, and then all of a sudden getting competitive with it, she really saw this opportunity of CrossFit that was just growing super fast, but building community along the way internationally, saw an opportunity for people to come to faith through some kind of ministry. You know, nothing existed at that time for the CrossFit and fitness community that would really minister to adults. And, you know, you've got Campus Crusade, you've got Young Life that's reaching students, but nothing that reached fitness or adults in the way that we thought a ministry like Faith or X could do.
Well, I think that's great, because we end up with a lot of these organizations that want to reach folks when they're young. And it almost seems like the older you get, the less people try to reach you with your faith, which is unfortunate. So I think it's great that Becky and you were able to see that and use something like CrossFit that encourages community as it is and help to relate that to your faith. So I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really cool opportunity, kind of a right place, right time. And Becky just had a gift for having a vision and a passion for the people of CrossFit. And, you know, at the same time, there were guys like Chris Feeler and Rich Froning who were real outspoken in their faith. And you could see that they were really wanting to do the same thing she was, of using CrossFit as a platform to influence people, that they all recognize that, you know, you can get totally consumed by getting stronger, fitter, faster, and chasing after these competitions and success. But it was a relationship with God that really anchored them and provided the true meaning in their lives. And so rather than just shore it up for themselves and just keep doing it on their own privately, they weren't afraid to really share that with other people. And so we assembled testimonies from some of these athletes, put it into a Athlete New Testament, passed out about 3,000 the first year we did that at the CrossFit Games. And that became the first training resource that we did. But beyond that, we also saw the opportunity to host events and camps that would kind of blend this faith and fitness concept as well.
Yeah, it seems like CrossFit in particular brings a really unique opportunity, or maybe just a unique type of person. I mean, even Dan Bailey, I like to catch his faith edition that he'll put out on YouTube, and it's only a few minutes long usually, but it seems to be different from the rest of the fitness community, where a lot of the fitness community is, it's about me, it's about how big I can get, how fit I can get, you know, look at me with the minimum clothing and look how amazing I look. Whereas it seems like a lot of these guys in the CrossFit community and gals, they want to share a lifestyle especially one that's as healthy as Christianity and the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And what's been really cool is we kind of our footing in the whole thing was for the fitness community and for athletes and coaches and affiliate owners. But as we grew into it, we realized that as we were trying to bridge toward the church and help people ultimately get involved in the church, we saw people from the church who could really use fitness as well. And so here's all these people that are so passionate and knowledgeable about how to get fit, helping people from the church do exactly that and really honor their bodies as a temple. And so that blend has just really been beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see. And Steve and I are actually friends with one of the founders of Everyday Warrior. And so I'm sure you're familiar with that foundation as well. And a lot of that is really cool to see it, that it's a community of people that come together when someone's in need. And it's got to be similar for you folks. I mean, we all have a need. And so I think there's an attractiveness to faith, especially within a community that's as tight-knit as you folks.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, that need, I know Matthew 25:35 talks about just in the end, we're going to be accountable for recognizing the needs in others. And, you know, whether it's clothing or shelter or food or being thirsty, and man, how important that is now as people have so many needs as they're shored up in quarantine or, you know, social distancing with all the coronavirus going around, that, you know, that is also a core thing, you know, core outcome of what we're trying to do is not only get people excited about their faith and sharing their faith and making kind of purpose a key topic of discussion for people outside of the gym, but then also really taking all of this fitness and using it to meet needs through service. And so we want to do that locally through our chapters. And then we also want to provide mission trip opportunities. So we've got amazing service coordinators across all these chapters that are service-minded, community-minded, creating partnerships with other nonprofit organizations like Habitat for Humanity or homeless shelters or soup kitchens. But then Billy Shelton is on our staff, and he joined us for that purpose. He was most passionate about the needs around the world that he sees, and is creating these trips and opportunities for us to do things like get down to Houston and serve during Hurricane Harvey. And then with the tornadoes in the Nashville area, we're excited to see the possibility of creating opportunities for that as well.
That's fantastic. So I do want to talk about, you know, the time that we're actually recording this with the virus that's going on. But before that, I kind of like to come back to Becky. So did Becky help you build your faith then?
Yes. You can't be around Becky and not be influenced by her contagious Christianity. And it's funny to use that word, especially now with the world pandemic. But she was contagious in that way. And so just being around her smile and her passion for her faith and her dedication to it, you know, integrity is a core value that we honor in Faith or X. We have our four core values are integrity, unity, service, and excellence. And so you can't have a ministry and you can't have influence without integrity. And so the cool thing about Becky is she wouldn't just talk about her faith, but she would live it. And so, you know, you're talking about somebody who would get up and the first thing she wanted to do, you know, Dan Bailey, you mentioned him, he talks about Bible before breakfast, that, you know, that's exactly what she did as well. It's just get in the word, journal, pray. And then from that kind of core foundation, that solid platform, then you can go out about your life and then you're not going to be rocked by circumstance because you've got this background that's this solid footing in the creator of the universe, which is an amazing concept to think about.
And so if you don't mind talking about what you've been going through over the last year, I mean, if you're willing.
Yeah, I am. And this would be the first time I've really talked about it publicly, I would say, and it's almost been a year. But Becky did pass away a year ago, and so there was a unexpected aneurysm that she experienced on, I believe it was March 26th, and I got a call while she was down in Florida with my daughter, where she had experienced this, brain bleed. It was a rupture of an aneurysm, and it was pretty catastrophic for her. And she had a radiological neurosurgeon that was doing everything that he and his team could do to try to put some coils in there and block what had happened, but it was a little bit too late because it was a level 5 brain bleed. And so ultimately it was to the point that it got to her spinal column and CNS and created a rupture there that was that she died from within about 6 days. So April 6th is the official date that she died. And of course, as I said, that's coming up. But, that really challenges anybody in their faith who's loses a loved one like I did, where, are you going to just trust God in the easy times where everything's going your way? And, maybe you're praying for prosperity and good things and always thinking that they're going to come your way, or are you going to be ready for whatever it is God has for you and just trust that he's the author of life and not yourself? And so that's, I even had conversations with some of our coaching staff about that very thing about a year, I guess it was a year and a half ago at our Denver camp. And that was probably our 16th True Strength camp. We used to call them Iron Sharpens Iron. Now we call them True Strength. And we were in a blizzard and talking about trusting God in the good and the bad times, no matter what. And little did I know something like this was going to be coming into my life and all of our lives, where we would lose Becky and then have to really live that out.
Well, I don't envy you in that. I do, though, envy, the lessons that you bring along with you. We all want that testimony, right? But nobody wants the test. So, I would say I'm sorry you had to go through that. It sucks for it. It sucks for everybody. I have always kind of lived trying to prepare. Well, not always, but I've been with my wife. I've been with her since I was 14. And she was diagnosed with lupus later on. And she had cancer at one point. And so I've always had this, this thought in the back of my mind that I need to be prepared for something like that. But I don't know that you can prepare for that. You can say it all you want, but good on you for relying on where you needed to rely on to get through it.
Yeah. And it definitely was not easy. And especially in the beginning, having to share with my kids what had happened, I had flown them on home thinking that we'd also be flying Becky a few days later, to then be in a long-term situation of recovery. Having to tell them was obviously the hardest thing I've ever had to do. So of course, in the very beginning, it was just little things like breathe and step and just take one thing at a time. And then, from there, begin to see that I'm still alive and breathing. Everyone else around me is still there. What more does God want from my life? Because he's created me for a purpose. And just like he created Becky for a purpose. And, I trust that she met her purpose and that he used her the way he wanted to. And now she's celebrating in heaven with him. But, the rest of us have a purpose here. And so what is that? And to continue to strive for that. And I'm truly blessed with not only the community of FaithRx, the leaders and the participants and our entire fitness community that interacts with us online and in social media, but then just the mission of being able to really trust that God can use us for his purpose. And he allows us to be part of his kingdom building, which is just amazing that we can think that we can wake up and actually have influence on other people and be part of his plan.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing, and I don't do that to bring any more attention to you, you know, regarding this kind of stuff, because I'm sure that's not what you want. But, you know, I do this because, you know, you're being used in spite of what you've been through and because of what you've been through. And I think that people are watching and want to know how you come out the other side of this, because they want to know, what is this faith thing all about? So thank you for sharing about that. So to kind of turn a page and bring us into the present. So yeah, there's a lot of quarantine going on. There's a lot of fear driven quarantine going on, and it's really unfortunate. And even those with the best of intentions, I look at some of my news feeds from some of the Christian folks that I follow, and putting out, and granted, I'm sure they're factual, but putting out a lot of this stuff about this virus and the death rate and all this kind of stuff. I think the fear that a lot of this is causing is more damaging than the virus. So, I mean, how's it been from your standpoint?
Yeah. So I've really been spending a pretty good amount of time in the news articles and looking at data and looking at other countries and how this is spreading. And because of the responsibility I have for the participants in our chapters and the camp that we'll be hosting in June, which I truly hope we'll still be able to host there toward the end of June. And that is on our website, faithrx.org, not to just promote it every opportunity, but because I'm passionate about it, I want people to know about it and I want people on our website. But
yeah, sure.
I think, you know, it's been like a slow moving mudslide or something, you know, where the blessing of it in a way is just being able to see other countries struggle, and then be able to kind of make some predictions out of that to see, okay, this is the stages they went to and the precautions they had to take. What is that? What could that mean for us? And I'm, you know, I think there is a lot of fear and panic. I take this, you know, I've seen people get a little bit ahead of the CDC warnings by, you know, being even a little bit more cautious. And I think they're doing a lot of the same things I was of looking at news articles and data and curves of how many people are getting the virus and how many people are dying and making some good decisions around it. And the cool thing, you know, like I said, one of our core values is unity. I see the moms and dads and the leaders of different organizations, whether it's a gym or a restaurant or a business or airline or whatever, taking the precautions and unifying because of the threat and making some really good decisions about what's going to protect our people the best and what's going to minimize the spread, and not just for the people that are, you know, the younger people and the healthy people from the gyms, you know, like a lot of the people that I deal with through FaithRx, but it's really recognizing that us healthy and younger people can be spreaders to the people that are more vulnerable. And so putting those vulnerable people ahead of themselves and inconveniencing ourselves, making some business and personal sacrifices is a really cool sign of unity. So while there is a lot of fear and panic, I do see some really positive things. And I think that's only going to continue. I think as we, you know, get over this initial shock and recognize that there's so many people that are, you know, inside, fearful, can't get to toilet paper or whatever it is, you know, that this creates a lot of service opportunity. And while we're encouraging our chapters not to meet in these groups of 10 or more, like the CDC is now saying, we are encouraging people to go out in twos and threes or whatever, and make that shopping trip or check on their neighbors or make that call or that personal connection that can make an amazing difference for somebody that doesn't have the needs they need or that they're fearful.
Yeah, I like that. And you're absolutely right. This has created a lot of opportunities. And I hope that some folks that can provide in these times are listening to this, because there are people that are financially able that can provide meals or transportation or even prayer. If you know somebody that is fearful in these times, even calling up and praying with somebody makes a world of difference. So
absolutely. I love that.
You mentioned in your email about community, and you talked about iron sharpens iron. what are you working to accomplish at some of these meetings?
So our we've rebranded from Iron Sharpens Iron to True Strength because, you know, that was really the founder's story for us. It was about recognizing that, yeah, there's this physical strength and we can take care of our bodies as the temple of the Lord and as a way to get strong and fit, which can be for ourselves, but ultimately it's for others. But where does true strength come from? And so the camp is this cool blend of both faith and fitness. And so what we're really trying to accomplish through that is bringing in these world-class coaches that aren't just great coaches about recognizing movement patterns and be able to tell you, hey, you know, you're not going low enough in the catch and your snatch or power clean or whatever, but that they have a story to tell and that they are amazing communicators. And so these same coaches that are out on the floor with our athletes that come, and we use the word athlete very broadly. If you're willing to get in the gym, then you're an athlete. If you're using your body. And so that's all we're calling people to do. And we'll scale our workouts, whether it's our chapter events or our camps, to wherever you are in your fitness or wherever you are in your faith. So you're going to be encouraged wherever you are on the spectrum of faith. And so these coaches are able to encourage and build people up in both of those things. And one of the cool things that my co-founder, Chip Pugh, kind of came up with was this concept of path of champions. And so as you think about that spectrum of faith and kind of the starting point to the finish line, it starts as a spectator. We're on the outside. We're checking things out. We're taking our concept of reality and comparing it with this concept of that's being shared in the Bible of a creator and a savior, where the creator, God, saw our sin and then provided a way out of that sin and a way back into relationship with him through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus, who died on the cross. And so when you start out in that position, you're a spectator looking on the outside, and that's important. That's the place we should all be rationally, you know, weighing these things and challenging this opportunity to step into faith. And as you get to know the gospel and what Christ did for us and the sacrifice and the new life that he offers us, if we accept and believe in that sacrifice, then you're an athlete. And so from athlete, so many of us maybe grew up in the church, but we just stopped there. We, you know, some people call it fire insurance, and that's a dangerous place to be because you're not actually living out your faith. And there's even a verse in that Matthew 25 that I talked about where he says, "I never really knew you," and so then the opportunity isn't really there for you to continue on in your faith. And so we're calling people, once they're an athlete, once they believe in what Christ has done, to keep going and to live out that faith and to take on the spiritual disciplines of reading the word and getting to know God more through that, praying, which is just an open conversation with God, to just ask him for the things that you want, but also to just acknowledge the holiness and greatness that he has in comparison to us. And then living out our faith in every way that he calls us to do. And as you step into that, and none of us are perfect in that. In fact, we're all miserable failures on our own. And that's why we're dependent on the Holy Spirit and dependent on this relationship with God. But, you know, we begin to call that a competitor. But God calls us not to stop there either. It's to ultimately go back to that place where the spectators are and where we all started, and to be a coach. And so that's about sharing our faith. And it's not about getting to a perfect place before you can share your faith, but be willing to take a risk and start that conversation with others and just let them know what you're reading in the Bible or what you've been praying about. And as we pray, we want to listen to and then sharing what is God telling us through that prayer as well. So our chapters and our camps are about giving people a space to try all that out and be encouraged in that.
So what you're saying is you start as a spectator, you become a curious disciple, and then you become a devoted disciple and then you make disciples, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Perfect. We put it in a language that's fitness centric because fitness is a blast and because we can all relate to it, because we strive so hard into it and we have this shared suffering, sacrifice experience that we bond through. And then it just becomes a lot of fun to talk about our faith in that context.
Yeah, it's amazing how it will transfer over into the spiritual realm. You go through these physical sufferings. It's there's very little difference between that and the spiritual sufferings we go through.
It's so true.
And you have created a way for people to come together and bond in that. That's fantastic. So you talked about something that reminded me of a verse here. And it's one that I keep returning to over and over, especially in these times as we go along. And I think it's comparable to when we find our physical weaknesses. But in spiritual weaknesses, I think it's maybe a little bit more difficult because there are times when we find out we have a spiritual weakness or even a physical weakness that we don't necessarily find the ability to overcome, but we're not always called to overcome it. We're called to live with it and be an example to others that God's grace is still good. And this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And so I think this kind of points to a lot of different situations that we're going through with the virus going on. We're powerless to deal with it, but God's grace is sufficient for us. Mm-hmm. In you having dealt with loss, that's not something that you can just keep to yourself and deal with on your own. You know, you're understanding that God's the only one that's going to get you through it, if I understand you correctly.
Yep.
Even if he's putting people in your life or whatever the case, it's God that's getting you and your family through this. So, I mean, have you found that to be true?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it helps so much to think in those terms with leadership as well. I mean, Paul was an amazing leader of the early Christian church. And, you know, you see God putting this thorn in him. And it's from that place God wants us to lead. And so I've certainly felt that for exactly that reason with just here, I've got this horrible thorn in my side and life has been so imperfect in human terms with the loss of Becky and with that pain. And yet moving forward, then it opens up the opportunity to rely on other people, like you're saying, to rely on our faith. And this journey is not meant to be lived alone. It's about who around us can lift us up, and just points to this whole idea of a tribe. And as we're facing the coronavirus, and there can be this threat of loneliness, of being behind closed doors, you know, those of us who have families, we get to really celebrate and grow into those relationships stronger. And then our tribe around us that we've built, whether it's a Faith or X chapter, if you can reach out to that, we want you to. Having a tribe is key in growing in your faith and in your fitness.
Yeah, I think that's been really important, especially for Steve and I, to surround us with people that are smarter than us, maybe more spiritually mature than us. Mm-hmm. Because trying to do it on our own and isolating or to use a popular term nowadays, quarantining ourselves from others, it's unhealthy. And it's not only unhealthy spiritually, but it's unhealthy socially too. You know, we talk about in wellness that one of the legs that's often overlooked is this social leg. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the mental, the spiritual, the emotional, but we often overlook that that social leg. And so I think that's important, and I think that's a benefit of CrossFit, but also, you know, more specifically in this Faith RX that you guys have.
Yeah, totally. And just a quick comment about technology. You know, you look at the way technology, without technology, I don't think Faith RX could have spread and grown nearly as fast as it has in the last 6 to 7 years that we've been been going. And so that's been cool to leverage technology. You know, we've got our social channels and our website to reach people. And just each of us individually have this choice now as we're behind doors. And, you know, definitely getting outside is key. Where it's safe to do that on your own and with a friend or two and or a family member. But when we're behind closed doors and we're making those choices for technology, use it to encourage yourself, to connect with people, to encourage others, to be that coach in your faith if you're in the, at that point, or to just make it from a spectator to an athlete and explore those things. Because we have the world at our fingertips. We can be on a video call like you and I are doing right now. We can be on a podcast to listen to voices that can encourage us. Let's just be wise in the decisions of how we use our time with, especially those of us who are out of work in these in-between times, to just make some amazing new goals and to really just learn from others and grow in our faith and in our connections with others.
Well, that's fantastic. I 100% agree with that. And to piggyback on that, maybe give the news a break for a couple of days. Because
yes,
you're still gonna wash your hands and use up all that toilet paper probably that you bought. But
right,
yeah. In the meantime, maybe give that a break and open up the Bible, because it's already in there. It already says yes. What's gonna happen. And I think that's the big difference for you and I, Jim, is that I'm not sensing so much the fear right now. I occasionally let it creep in, but then I chase it right back out with the words, you know. And the biggest difference for me is I know exactly what the ending is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And that God is, like you said, bigger than all this. And he's in control. He has a plan. Just like in the throes of Becky being sick and things just looking worse and worse. And that can be true of this pandemic on a global scale. In the midst of all that, somehow, you know, he promises to work things for good. And you'll find nuggets like that in scripture of that promise. And scripture is just a love letter from God where he's sharing why he made us and the purpose he has for us and his character. And so as you read those things, you learn about that character and you learn what a good God he is, despite the terrible things that happen in our life, which really originates more from sin than any part of God's original plan, I would say. And he always has a way to make things turn toward his good as we have faith in him.
Yeah, exactly. And it may take a little while for us to see what that good is. And we may not see it this side of heaven.
That's right. Yeah, having a real patience for that.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I've taken up quite a bit of your time because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against electronics and technology, apparently. So, I was going to ask if you'd be willing to, you know, close us in prayer and maybe you have a little encouragement to finish up with.
Yeah, I'd love to. All right, Lord, just thank you for everybody that's able to listen to this podcast. Thank you for this conversation Adam and I have been able to have. Thank you for just the stories that you're weaving for each of us. Pray that we would trust in you and look to you for answers and not get caught up in the hour-to-hour news, but we would be looking for your bigger story throughout this. Pray that you give wisdom to our leaders, like our president and the leaders of all the countries across the world that are dealing with this. Pray for our healthcare workers, our police officers, our National Guard, and so many people that are willing to put their lives on the line for you, for their fellow man to serve. Pray that you would protect them and keep them safe, and Lord, that you would just be speaking through us and to us through the things that are happening. Pray that as we kind of hit the reset button on our lives and get out of our normal routine, that you would show us some new things as we seek your face. And so thank you so much for this opportunity to just share about our lives and what you're doing in them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate it. So how can we connect with you?
So you can reach FaithRx on faithrx.org, and we have a chapters map there. There's some guidance about how to get involved in one of our camps. There's guidance on even how to start a chapter if you're passionate about, as you get to know what we are and what we're about, and that opportunity is there. And then the training resources are there. There's an athlete word that you can sign up for to get a daily email that will encourage you and challenge you to think about your faith in new ways. Or if you don't have faith, it'll challenge you to see what God is saying. And then if you want to connect with me personally, you can see my bio on that website. You can see my emails there, jim@faithrx.org. And then you can find me on social media at C-O-N-Z-E-L-M. So would love to connect with you guys. If you have questions about your faith or questions about Faith or X, or just want a word of encouragement, really appreciate the opportunity to connect with you guys.
Yeah, and we appreciate you taking the time to do so and to share your story. All
Sounds
right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jim. Really
All
appreciate
right.
it. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Adam.